Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, May 25th, 2014. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening from Washington. I'm Sandra Nyaira. Among our top stories this evening, millions across Africa are celebrating the 1963 founding of the Organization of African Unity, but many say more needs to be done to economically empower the populace.
Africa, they have a lot of relevance and significance to the whole of Africa in terms of the milestones that the continent has achieved in terms of liberating our citizens.
The MDC is concerned by the government's decision encouraging farmers to sell their maize produce to private buyers as the cash-strapped grain marketing board fails to buy the crop.
There's one thing we all must accept, but I think we should congratulate Party Janda for one thing and one thing only, just telling the truth as it is.
And Zimbabwean women in the diaspora plan a big conference for Dallas, Texas in June. Today is Africa Day and millions across the continent are celebrating the 1963 founding of the Organization of African Unity, the OAU. On this day, leaders of 30 of the 32 independent African states signed a founding charter in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. In 1991, the OAU established the African Economic Community, and in 2002, the OAU established its own successor, the African Union. However, the name and date of Africa Day has been retained as a celebration of African unity. The day is a holiday in most African countries. MISA Zimbabwe released a statement joining the continent in commemorating Africa Day and is urging the Zimbabwean government to fulfill its state obligations in line with the African Charter on Human and People's Rights as it embarks on the realignment of the country's laws with the new constitution. Of particular interest to MISA Zimbabwe is the urgent need to repeal or amend all existing legislation which restrict media freedom, freedom of expression, and citizens' right to access to information. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with political analyst Pedzisai Ruhanya on the significance of Africa Day 51 years down the line.
Without doubt, Africa Day has a lot of relevance and significance to the whole of Africa in terms of the milestones that the continent has achieved in terms of liberating, you know, our citizens from colonial rule, and also try to liberalize the social services to the extent that social services such as the right to education, access to health, is largely or are largely accessible to our citizens despite the problems that we face like any other continent, be it in South America or even in Europe or America. But of course, there are challenges that we, like any other continent, need to address, and these have to do with how we govern our citizens.
As you pointed out, of course, as you said, that Africa has many challenges. What is the role of the AU? What can they do?
The AU is what is called the Constitutive Charter of the African Union, which states what the AU is for, the mission statement, the objectives of the AU. And if the AU and the, you know, subsidiary bodies or regional bodies such as the Southern African Development Community, such as OCOWA, such as the East African Community, were to implement those treaties that they signed, I think we would be somewhere. So what needs to be done is for the AU, SADC, ECOWAS, and the leaders of respective countries to walk the talk.
Zimbabwe, of course, has been facing some challenges. Do you see that there will be political will to change that?
Without doubt. You see, the struggle for democratization and non-compliance is not a sprint. If you want to run 100 meters in this gen, you will collapse and faint. This is a struggle that needs patience. This is a struggle that will ultimately be realized. We will still realize what we want as Zimbabweans. So the idea that we are failing to address those issues, but we have to look at history. From 1786, first Chimurenga to second Chimurenga in the 60s, to where we are today, you can actually see that Zimbabwe is moving in the right direction. But in between those struggles, you always find setbacks. But don't look at the movement of a nation in terms of its setbacks.
That was political analyst Pedzisai Ruhanya on the line from London with reporter Tatenda Gumbo. The MDC says it is said that the government is now encouraging farmers to sell their maize produce to private buyers as the government's grain marketing board does not have sufficient funds to buy the crop. Deputy Agriculture Minister Paddy Zanda told Parliament Wednesday that the GMB has been allocated funds to procure maize because the government is cash strapped. He said his ministry is looking at ways to raise money for the GMB, but says the GMB will have to compete with private buyers on the market. MDC Shadow Agriculture Minister Samu Sipepa Nkomo, now with the so-called renewal team, speaks with reporter Jonga Kandemiri on the issue.
There's one thing we all must accept, but I think we should congratulate Paddy Zanda for one thing and one thing only, just telling the truth as it is. Because what he did is a confession that the government has failed to do what it is supposed to do, make funds available to the GMB. He's saying, farmers, you can sell to anybody. Now buyers buy from the farmers because government, you will not be able to give GMB the money to buy from you farmers. So I think that it's simply an indication that the government has failed. And truly speaking, the truth of the matter is that they just have no money. Civil servants' pay day has been moved. And so it's an indication that all is not well. I think it is important for all of us to try and find a solution problem. That's where I think all of us as a people and as a nation should come in. This government is unable to solve economic problems in spite of Zim Asset.
By allowing private players to buy maize from producers or from farmers, is the government not exposing the farmers to unscrupulous buyers who were accused of ripping off farmers before?
As if the government has a choice. What they are doing is not what they want to do. What they are doing is forced on them by circumstances. And I think that there is really nothing they can do, because if they insist on their previous policy, the GMB will not buy maize from the farmer. And what then happens? The farmer cannot go back to the land.
That was MGCT Shadow Agriculture Minister Samuel Sipepa Nkomo on the line from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. Zimbabwean women living in the United States, the United Kingdom, and other Western capitals will converge in Dallas, Texas, under the Women of Dominion banner to worship God and discuss issues affecting them in their new environments. The annual conference is growing by the year, says Pastor Julian Maramba, who's one of the organizers of the conference, a brainchild of another Zimbabwean woman pastor, Mavilas Ndlovu. I spoke with Pastor Maramba earlier on about the conference, which is set for June 19th to the 22nd.
It's going to have a lot of impact to women from all walks of life. Everybody is allowed to come to this conference. It's going to impact a lot of women.
What are the main issues that you'll be looking at this conference?
The main issues, we'll be looking at family issues, we'll be looking at marriage issues, we'll be looking at business issues to empower each other so that we know that every woman has got an aspiration. They would like to be empowered in the business fraternity. They want to have financial freedom. They want to know what to do if you've got a problem in your marriage, if you've got problems with your family. And I'm sure the Holy Spirit will be present and everybody is going to gain from this experience. The theme of the conference is no more limits. There is no limitation in the eyes of the Lord. You can be black, you can be white, you can be Chinese, as long as the Holy Spirit is available, as long as God leads you. Because the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So we are just expecting the Spirit of God to move.
At the end of the conference, do you expect to see changes in the ordinary women who are going to come and attend this conference?
definitely it's going to change a lot of people, because the last time when we had the conference, a lot of testimonies came from the Women of Dominion Conference. People were impacted spiritually. People were impacted to start their own businesses. A lot of people who are coming back, they are coming to testify that they have started their businesses. Their families are, you know, are good to go, and their marriages have been changed. And their children now, they know how to handle teenagers, because there are a lot of subjects which are a lot of subjects which we are going to be talking about are teenagers also. So it has got a broad spectrum of subjects which we are going to be discussing at the conference.
What would you say are the main issues that are affecting women living in the diaspora community that could also be addressed at this conference?
The barrier of cultural barriers, I'm sure it's affecting a lot of women. You know, we need to interact with other, you know, cultures. We need to interact with other churches. We need to interact with other people, like the white community. We need to also incorporate them into our meetings. So we are trying to incorporate everybody into our meeting. So we are reaching out to everybody to come and, you know, attend the conference. We also need to climb the ladders, the corporate ladders. Women, they are afraid. So we need to also address such issues that, you know, there are no limits. You might not be educated, but you have your share in this country. You can make it. You can.
That was Pastor Julian Maramba in Dallas, Texas.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency. African ministers responsible for metrology begin meeting in Harare for 4 days tomorrow to discuss climate change as they seek to establish a task force to develop an implementation plan for an integrated African strategy on metrology. The strategy will ensure close collaboration between the member states and position national meteorological services, weather and climate services, as key components of the continent's development framework. The four-day meeting of 10 ministers is a subcommittee of the African Ministerial Conference on Metrology that will meet before the end of the year to concretize issues agreed in Harare. The ultimate goal, an official told Studio 7, is to improve agriculture on the continent, leverage national met services, and ensure they have all they need to do their work. The meeting will also further discuss the development of Africa's space policy, the establishment of a regional climate center in Central Africa, and related issues. Africa's capacity to deliver weather and climate services is currently poor. Developing a regional climate center will help deal with that weakness, a source with the AMCONET told Studio 7. Zimbabwe, through Environment Minister Xavier Kasukwere, chairs the subcommittee. And now we go to the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today I'm joined by Director of the Practical Empowerment and Networking Youth Association, Hilary Musarurwa. Hi, Hilary. How are you today?
Hi, Ted, and I'm well, and yourself?
I'm doing quite well. As we know, you've just embarked on an education experience and you are now living in South Africa. Can you tell me how that experience has been for you? As of course, there are maybe even millions of young people who've taken the same exodus, whether it's for school, whether it's for cross-border trading, looking for employment. How has that journey for you been?
Well, I think first and foremost, I must admit that my experience here has been rather shocking, and I say shocking in the sense that you face up with reality and see how being in Zimbabwe closes you out to what is happening outside of our borders. And like what someone said, that the garden behind your house is a forest if you've not traveled. I think it also made me realize that the world is progressing whilst we are all sort of like regressing within Zimbabwe.
And even though you're in South Africa and there is a large population of young Zimbabweans who live there, how has your interaction been with other young South Africans?
I think South Africa, for me, has been a very interesting country in the sense that it's easy for people to interact across races, across color. This is something I know from my experience in the number of years I've lived in Zimbabwe is a bit of a challenge. Because I think we've put divisions amongst ourselves in Zimbabwe such that interactions across race is a bit of a challenge. Interactions across people of different color is a bit of a challenge. But down south, I think people don't see each other in black and white. Maybe more so if you look at the people that I've been interacting with, and I've found myself in, I think the best business school in Africa. And where you find people who come from all over the world coming into this space, and their interaction is just so open. I think for me, I think the first 2 or 3 weeks, I was really trying to adjust to that experience where you see people from a different perspective than you had been schooled up to look at. But for me, I think I'd been called up to look at the fact that someone who's white is probably more superior, more intelligent, and maybe knows it all better than me. But as the interactions went by, I think I got to realize that, no, we're just the same. And if not, that maybe we were even in a better position than them in terms of, I think, our academic performance. I've learned one thing. Our education system in Zim is still one of the best, and I think someone who has gone through education system in Zimbabwe up to secondary school would perform very, very well ahead of a number of people who have gone through the lower end of education in South Africa.
And you brought up a point there in talking about the difference between level of education between Zimbabweans and South Africans. But has that posed as an issue for you in interacting with other South Africans?
Well, I think for me the interaction has not been very hard. And I think it's also the experiences that I've gone through. I must admit to you, and I think I'll admit to the whole world right now on air, that I got my place to do a master's, not based on my academic background, but it's basically based on my practical experience in working with young people in Zimbabwe, my experience in the field. And I think here we have a situation where it was practical meeting with academia, and for me the lived experience was a better teacher.
Join me next week as I continue my conversation with Hillary, looking at how technologically advanced it is in education systems in South Africa. I'm Tatenda Gumbo.
And in sports news, just as a reminder about World Cup, as World Cup fast approaches in Brazil, who do you think is the best striker in African football? Demba Ba, Jevinho, Samuel Eto'o, or some may say? Let us know what your 2014 African All-Star football team looks like by selecting the best goalie, the best striker, and the best defender from Africa at our website, www.voazimbabwe.com. Voting is already started and it finishes on June 12th. Unfortunately, time is not on our side. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, May 25th, 2014. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Sidandekile Mhlanga. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead. La lami ngithathele lithuba lokubonga uSandra. Siyalambulela.